This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
This is Palm Sunday, and with all of Christianity, are going to journey with Jesus toward the city of Jerusalem. And Dr. Wyatt warns that we as well should not miss the day of our visitation.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, Palm Sunday. Sharon's reading is from the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and I want to hone in on what is the day of visitation. Do stay with us.
And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and will send it back here immediately." And they went away and found a colt tied at the door out in the open street, and they untied it. And those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they said to them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches, which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the kingdom of our father David and his coming! Hosanna in the highest!"
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. It is foremost Palm Sunday, the triumphal entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem and its grand temple to the Lord God Almighty. This was to be no ordinary day. Not only is it the beginning of the Jewish celebration building up to Passover, but Jesus will this day put his indelible and distinctive mark upon this pilgrim procession into the holy city. The Sabbath is past, and the pilgrims from every hamlet and town in the greater area has broken camp, in this case east of the city, to proceed around the Mount of Olives. Unlike today when one walks the lanes that skirt the south side of the Mount of Olives, now you see first the old medieval Turkish walls, then the blue and gold dome of the Harim Sharif, better known as the Dome of the Rock. For it is a decorative structure built over supposedly the venerated site or rock believed to be where Abraham was commanded to sacrifice his son. This was, in the time of Christ, part of an enlarged and leveled hilltop of the threshing floor purchased by David from Ornan, the Jebusite, now largely void except for the dome and to the south a squat, bulky building, the Laquesha Mosque, which does seem out of place and a bit disappointing. For in Jesus' day, this Temple Mount, this rebuilt and elaborate second Jewish temple, with the temple itself towering above the massive marble pillars that surrounded the mount, with its gold inlay and golden roof dazzling in the morning light. By every ancient account, it was a breathtaking sight. And no matter how often a pilgrim had seen it, it would always engender praise and wonder. Yet on this day, The sight of the city and temple to Jesus will draw tears. As Luke relates for us, when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace, but now they are hid from your eyes, because you did not know the time of your visitation." This day and throughout this week, everything Jesus does is for a purpose. He had earlier arrived in the nearby village of Bethany, a Sabbath day's journey away, meaning close enough to be traversed on the Sabbath. And it was here in Bethany where just a few days ago Jesus had raised his friend Lazarus from his tomb of 4 days. Of course, news of this great sign had spread throughout the region, and John's gospel relates that this was the reason the crowds went out to meet him, because they heard he had done this great sign. Indeed, the hierarchy of Jerusalem were planning to put Lazarus also to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Well, in truth, that is not surprising, is it? A dead man raised, and there would be further stories from the pilgrims from Galilee. And now thousands await the coming of this prophet from Galilee, as many will describe him. It is why he and Lazarus are not seized immediately. For as they will say to one another, "You see that you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." It would seem so, as the thousands throng toward him as he moves around the mount. They are singing psalms, declaring the wonder of God and giving praise to the God of Israel. The all-too-common detraction of the story of Lazarus being raised, that it is found only in one gospel, is not an adequate argument against its reality. We should not expect the same stories in all of our gospels, but Lazarus is a special case. As Richard Beckham writes, Lazarus could not have been protected during his life in the Jerusalem church if his story had been told, even if he was not named. It was all too well known. He could have been protected only if the entire story remained untold. It is the raising of Lazarus that has affected the people so much that even the authorities decide that he must die along with Jesus. And it is because of this act, especially, that Jesus is already in mortal danger when he arrives in Bethany just days before. It is not until years later, perhaps after the destruction of Jerusalem, when all these dangers are past and his story can be shared by this last of the remaining disciples close to the Lord, John. But there is more. He comes riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Again, it is John that tells us that the disciples did not understand this at first. That is, the riding on a colt. Obviously, at this point, they were unfamiliar with Zechariah's utterances, that to the daughters of Jerusalem, fear not, your king is coming. Matthew's gospel account makes it clear that Jesus did this purposely to fulfill the words of Zechariah. We are told of the prior arrangements with the owners of the donkey, even what is an apparent code word, "The Lord has need of it." Garments are placed on the foal, and Jesus placed on the back of an untried animal. Many spread their garments on the road, branches and palm fronds as well. The feeling is of a special moment, one not meant to be forgotten, and its meaning will one day, after the resurrection, all become clear. It is Zechariah's words coming alive. "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious, yes, but also humble, and riding on a colt, the foal. He shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the rivers to the ends of the earth." It is the arrival in glory, yet humbly, of the Lord God. That was what Zechariah had said, "And of his kingdom there will be no end." It is why the rejoicing. I don't believe for a moment that all or most even realized what was happening. It was the moment, the enthusiasm, the joy. What all or most thought was in the shouts, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. peace in heaven and glory in the highest, and blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. It is clear they saw Jesus as the Messiah, as the Davidic king, for as was said, will the Christ who appears do more signs than this man has done? All the people had been amazed with his power and will be saying, can this be the son of David? So of course such thoughts were prevalent, but even more was at stake. The people were correct, but just had not taken their thoughts to the next level. For when again some of the religious leaders approached Jesus amid the shouts, singing and praising, they will say to Jesus, Teacher, note the title they use, not Messiah, son of David, nor even extend a blessing, but simply Teacher. Rebuke your disciples. After all, hear what they are saying. And Jesus replies, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. It is then, as we related earlier, why Jesus will weep over the city. For something momentous is occurring. You can call it Palm Sunday, the triumphal entrance of the Messiah, the coming King, but it is this city's, this temple's last chance. It is the visitation of the Lord's coming. It is all this and more, what makes for peace, shalom, which is a complex Hebrew word that means blessedness, wholeness, salvation, the very inward presence of God. And as a whole, they would miss it. In fact, a great many who are out shouting and waving branches and palms will miss it as well. They expected something else, wanted a Christ, a Messiah, on a white war horse, and failed to see the lowly donkey. They wanted the signs to bask in the celebrity of Lazarus, the man once dead and laid in a tomb and now alive, missing what it meant, that a greater than Elijah, a greater than Solomon, a greater than David, yes, greater than the temple is here. The week will progress rapidly now as he cleanses the temple once more, is confronted publicly by every religious group, sect, and divisive element in the city, confounding them all, and each evening will leave the city in such a way that the authorities are unable to seize him, or Lazarus, as they wish. One gets the sense of the authorities' rising anger and frustration. They are unable to ensnare him with their word games or theological tricks. His popularity continues to grow, and they can't seem to nab him in some secluded spot. Of course, we know that will change, as one in the inner circle will use that frustration among the authorities to make a little money for himself, which will unwittingly fulfill yet another prophecy. They weighed out my wages, 30 shekels of silver. Then the Lord said to me, cast it into the treasury. Zechariah 11:12-13. This is all a special time in the Christian calendar. The entrance in triumph, the event-filled week that will culminate in the crucifixion on a hill far away, as the great hymn goes, on an old rugged cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. This is very much an indispensable part of our faith, and it begins not with a simple stroll into the city, but a purposeful grand entrance. This is Jesus declaring who he is, even why and for what purpose he came. There are those who contend that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah, never said he was the Son of God or inferred that he was God. Such skepticism falls with every act of healing, every sign and wonder. Jesus was all about signs, presenting himself in a way that spoke volumes. It was never meant to be obvious or unavoidable, for then where would faith be? But still, it takes very little discernment, less awareness to see the truth of Jesus. He has come as the prophet Zechariah proclaimed, as God, as King to the city. There, upon the back of a young colt, with the crowd in unrestrained rejoicing and celebration. One does hear praises to God, but also blessings to he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel, recounting all the mighty works he has done, seeing in him the Messiah, and then that in him is the coming kingdom of our father David. They are not incorrect in any of these expectations. only mistaken in just how it all will be accomplished. God will, it is true, with the events of this week, accomplish his purpose in a way no one anticipated. Jesus of Nazareth will fulfill God's purpose in history, in Israel, and for the world. This man, humble, riding on a donkey, is the fulfillment of Israel's calling, will be the completion of the promise to Abraham and the patriarchs, and a blessing to all nations. He will sit on David's throne, at the very right hand of God, till every enemy is defeated, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Too often we as Christians don't appreciate fully what this means. We say Son of God, Messiah, King, and Priest, but often as just words. But the meaning is cosmic, universal, without parallel, and yet has been God's purpose from creation. None of this is accidental, happenstance, or luck, but by design. And our part is also God's purpose. This is about you and I as well. How we respond to his coming and the hour of our visitation. O Lord, as we rejoice in this Palm Sunday, let us never forget the reason you came and that it was all in God's design and for his purpose, that by your obedience unto death, that God's purpose and justification and redemption would be fulfilled on that cross, and that tomb would not be the end. For indeed your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, all for the glory of God Almighty and his beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.
It is Palm Sunday, a time of rejoicing in the coming of the King. You have to love Jesus riding upon a young donkey colt and how the multitudes reacted. But things will change. Jerusalem will not embrace Jesus, as he himself foresaw, and they will miss the day of their visitation. Yet even this was decreed by God and will lead to the victory of resurrection. So Dr. Wyatt is offering this week his book titled Evidence for the Resurrection. Here for everyone to understand is the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This should be a part of every Christian's awareness. So do write and ask for your copy of Evidence of the Resurrection. It is yours at no charge. We also want to thank all of you who, by your thoughtfulness and prayers, have kept this ministry vital and on your wonderful radio station. We depend on dear people like you for the Word of God to be broadcast to a world that is so in need of hearing the good news of God's grace. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This is, of course, the beginning of the Passion of our Lord. It has begun with his purposeful presentation to all of Jerusalem that he is the Davidic Messiah. And as he knows, and we will as the story unfolds, much more than a Messiah. Here is the wonder, mystery, and beauty of our faith. There is always more, for we're dealing with the very outworking of God's own purpose in Abraham, Israel, the Davidic throne, the Spirit of God, and now the enfleshment of God himself, his Logos. All this now comes to its fulfillment, the culmination of all history, the divine purpose now in one man as he moves among the people, in the temple, confronted by the authorities, an arranged betrayal, a mock trial, a quick conviction and death. Yes, Good Friday. It was all in his hands, and what better way to close this than with Janice Sanders singing that wonderful song so fitting for this week, The Old Rugged Cross. And do write. Dennis will give our addresses once more. And join us next week, for we deal with the only possible climax. You will want to hear it.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love
on this Palm Sunday, we seek to join with all Christianity in celebrating the coming of the King, He who is the fulfillment of God's purpose. Yet we do ask you to remember that this program is supported only by the gifts from gracious listeners like you. Those who appreciate a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. So we want all to write, for we would love to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and for this Easter season, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, Evidence for the Resurrection. This provides the scriptural and logical foundation for our faith in this pivotal event from which everything else is affirmed. You will want this study, so do write and ask for Evidence for the Resurrection. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.